It must be. Yes, I know. Yeah. I'd like to call the December 16th, 2008 regular meeting of the Atascadero Planning Commission to order. And what I'd like to do is, Dan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Please rise. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
Suzanne?
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Okay, at this time we have opportunity for public comment on anything that the commission would have jurisdiction over and that is not on tonight's agenda. So if anyone wishes to speak to the commission, please go to the podium and state your name for the record. Seeing none, move on with the business tonight. Now, the first item of business is the administration of oath of office for the new commissioners. I'll turn the meeting over to Marcia.
Thank you. Sandy, I'll need you to come down also. Repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Sandy Jack.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend
the Constitution of the United States
and the Constitution of the State of California
and the Constitution of the State of California
against all enemies foreign and domestic
and
that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same
I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation. Or purpose of evasion. And that I will well and faithfully. Discharge the duties of the office. Which I'm about to enter.
Okay. The next order of, and welcome to the two new commissioners. Look forward to serving with you. And the next order of business is the selection of an interim chairperson and vice chairperson. And what I'd like to do at this point in time is ask Warren if he'd just give us a quick quick recap of the traditional, how this has been handled up to this point in time?
Yes, certainly, Mr. Chairperson. Typically, there are no formal rules on how the commission selects their chair.
I'll amend my motion then. Thank you.
Suzanne? Pamela, Commissioner Hetherington and Commissioner O'Grady second it.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Okay, thank you very much. And could I have a motion for a vice chair, please?
I move that Dan O'Grady be interim vice chair. Is that what we're calling it?
Yes.
Interim vice chair.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Interim Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. The next item, and I'd like to change the disclosure of ex parte process to right before the individual projects. Could I get the reason for that is it keep it current, timely with the project that we're talking about, as opposed to someone having to remember as we go. If no one has any objection.
No objection, then that's a good reason to do that.
We have no consent calendar tonight. Public hearing. For each of the following items, the public will be given an opportunity to speak. After a staff report, the chair will open the public hearing and inviting the applicant or applicant's representative to make any comments. Members of the public may be invited to provide testimony to the commission during following the applicant. Speakers should state the name and address for the record and can address the commission for 5 minutes. After all public comments have been received, the public hearing will be closed and the commission will discuss the item and take appropriate actions. The first item of business tonight is conditional use permit for 8600 Santa Cruz Road. Can I get a staff report, please? Excuse me. Good point. Any ex parte on the conditional use permit for 8600 Santa Cruz Road? And I think the easiest way to do is just start to the right and move.
None.
None.
I spoke with Robert Friedrichsen on the phone, getting permission to sort of do a self-tour of the property.
On two occasions, have visited the property. On both occasions, I have also talked to...
I assume in this area is rural estate, and the zoning is residential suburban. This is a photo of the existing building site. This structure is proposed to be demolished. It's an existing 288-square-foot detached shed with a carport, and this is the location of the proposed oversized accessory structure. The total site is 2.89 acres. It has a dense tree canopy and two Blue Line creeks on the property, and the existing single-family residence is just over 1,800 square feet. Here's a site plan of the property. Here you can see the two blue lines that run across the property. This one that goes north-south actually appears more like a drainage swale on site. It's not a very defined creek. The lower creek is much more defined and runs underneath the driveway. The existing residence is just over here, and we have a long driveway that winds into the property. There's one large oak tree near the proposed workshop with the loft. The existing residence is just over 1,800 square feet, and according to the municipal code, a detached structure can only be up to half of the size of the main residence without approval of a minor conditional use permit, which is why it's being brought before the Planning Commission tonight. At the previously scheduled Planning Commission hearing, this item was continued back in October to get more information regarding the setback from the leach fields to the Blue Line Creeks. When this project was originally permitted back in 1990 for the main house, the site plan identified this blue line actually as a drainage swale instead of a Blue Line Creek, and therefore a 50-foot setback was determined from the leach field to that blue line. A 100-foot setback was shown from the larger Blue Line Creek. Back in 1990, we didn't have the GIS mapping system that we have now, and so it was incorrectly identified on the site plans. We now know that this is actually a Blue Line Creek and should have had a 100-foot setback, but since it was originally permitted and a precise plan was done in 1990, the existing leach field is to remain as originally permitted. These are some site photos of the existing house with the attached garage and the detached carport, and this is the oak tree on the property that will be impacted about 15% by the proposed garage. These are some photos of the proposed garage. The first floor is a three-car garage with a bathroom. It has a utility shower, a toilet, and a sink, and then there's a loft upstairs that's about half the size of the first floor. This is the municipal code section that allows the Planning Commission to permit oversized accessory structures. What it says is that the floor area of any detached structure can be up to 50% of the size of the principal structure, unless they do the minor conditional use permit. This project qualifies for a Class 3 environmental, Class 3 of the California Environmental Quality Act, which exempts new construction or conversion of small structures, such as garages. These are the findings that were shown in your staff report that you will need to make tonight in order to approve the project. And tonight, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution in your staff report and approve the conditional use permit as
Okay, so are there two there now? And one is being proposed to be demolished and one added for a net back to two?
What it is actually here on site, here you can sort of see the smaller shed in the back. That's proposed to stay, and it's smaller than 120 square feet, so it doesn't count as one of the accessory structures on the property. The building code actually exempts all structures under 120 square feet. This larger one here, with the carport, is proposed to be demolished to have the new accessory structure on site. Here in the back, you can also see it was like a storage container that was originally on site, and staff did request the applicant remove that storage container prior to Planning Commission because we don't allow those within the city.
Okay, so that small structure that you can barely see over the top, that's a small structure that, I mean, it's not even permitted, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, so there would be one. The new structure would be the only accessory structure
yes.
on the site. Okay. And then is the height limit 30 feet then, and this is under that height limit for an accessory structure, or is that?
That is correct.
Okay. The staff report on page 2 talks about a minor conditional use permit. What distinguishes a minor from a major?
Major conditional use permits are usually for like planned developments or major projects where they're doing significant building.
Oh.
The cost is the biggest difference. The fee is much less for a minor use permit where it's either an accessory structure on a residential property or a conditional use allowed by the zoning ordinance.
Where can that distinction be found in the
In this one, it's in the code section that here under residential accessory uses, and here it specifically says a minor conditional use permit.
Right.
And then in our fee schedule, has the two different fees
That's
for a minor and a major.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On page 3 of the staff report, it points out that a deed restriction will be required to ensure that the workshop is not converted to a second dwelling unit. However, when you look at the language and the conditions, there's an unless. And so my question has to do with the unless, and if I can find it here, I'll read it. It says, unless the property and design standards for secondary dwellings can be met and permits obtained. But I guess I don't understand why that unless would be in there, since the maximum size of a second unit would be 1,000 square feet. So that, I guess my question is, why is the unless in the condition?
They could do some modifications, maybe leave a portion of it as a garage and convert the rest of it. It's a standard, the unless is actually a standard thing that's in our deed restriction that says, and there's a few pages of text in the deed restriction, but basically it's just that it gives the future property owners the information in their title report and on the deed saying that this is not a second unit, this is a...
The fire line and the trenching, the staff report on page 4 talks about addressing the impacts on trees. In an arborist report during the building permit review, that means mañana, right? So I guess my question is, why wouldn't, if there's going to be impacts on trees, why wouldn't that be a proper topic for discussion at this time?
Normally it would be something that we would require ahead of time. In this case, it was something that the fire department actually caught later on, and they realized that this house had actually never been permitted with any type of dry stand pipe or way to get water to the site if there was ever a fire. So the existing residence is actually out of compliance. If there was a fire there right now, the fire department could not put it out because it's so far from the street where the water line is. So this condition was added in sort of towards the end of the project and after the client had already, or after the applicant had already obtained the arborist report. So we thought this is something that has to be done and we can address the impacts with the building permit.
Any other, Commissioner Hetherington?
What's the square footage of the footprint of the building that is proposed, the bottom floor?
It's just under 900 square feet.
Okay. And what you refer to as the loft on the second floor, could you give me your interpretation of loft?
Let's see. It's actually open on the sides so that it's... basically a storage area up above. The entire thing won't have an 8-foot ceiling height. It might be a little bit lower. It's really just more of it has a pitch in the roof, and so it's something that they can just use for storage and an extra area upstairs.
Okay, there's no plumbing going up there. I didn't see
no,
any,
there's
so I'm
not.
Assuming that there's not.
The bathroom will just be on the first floor.
Okay, thank you. And because the GIS mapping came years later, does the city have any recourse in future plans as far as making those setbacks from 50 feet to 100 feet?
If it was already permitted and approved much earlier, like in this case back in 1990, we can't go back and take away that approval. Mm-hmm. What we do in this case is just, you know, check it for future projects. So what we have now is in our GIS system, we have layers that we can turn on so that we can see exactly where those blue lines are over our city maps, and that way there's no chance of those being missed by today's, just the technology that we have is much easier.
Thank you, Callie. Mm-hmm.
Any other, Commissioner Hetherington? I'm sorry, Marino.
Callie, did you say just under 900 on the, because I show 988 in the staff report, bottom of page 2. Or did I miss here?
No, that sounds right, 988.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Then the applicant would care to speak?
Do you know if Mr. Friedrichsen is planning on putting gutters on this building?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I just saw another note.
Commissioner O'Grady?
I had made. Thank you. On the proposed elevation, it shows attic spaces adjacent to the loft. But then I thought Ms. Taylor said there weren't going to be any walls on the loft. So what's the distinction between the attic spaces and the loft?
The loft is actually built into the trusses, and the attic space is on each side of that loft. So the attic space is just on each side. There's not the loft area is actually built into the trusses themselves. It was engineered that way.
Okay, but I'm getting towards the use now more than the construction. I mean, the loft is, I think, was stated is going to be used for storage.
Yes.
What about the attic?
There will be no storage in the attic. There's no access other than through the side, small.
Okay, if I look over the edge of the loft down on the rafters or whatever, or the joists over the garage, am I looking at insulation or is there a plywood deck or what am I looking at when I look at the attic on the floor?
Insulation.
Okay, thank you.
Any more discussion? Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Collins. I'll open it to the public. Anyone from the public that wants to comment? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for further action. If there's no other discussion, I think a motion would be in order.
Sure. I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0051 to allow a 1,456-square-foot workshop, which is based on findings and subject to conditions of approval.
Second.
Who gets a second? Commissioner Benz.
One item of discussion that a question I forgot to ask. Is it necessary to add the condition about no HVAC, or is that automatically covered by ordinance?
That would automatically be covered.
Okay, thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Benz?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Interim Vice Chair O'Grady?
Yes.
Interim Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Okay, the next item.
Jack.
Thank you. Staff report, please.
Good evening, Commissioners. This map before you is located at 5455 Bajada Avenue. It's currently one parcel, and they're proposing to subdivide it into two parcels. So the project is located here. The general plan designation is single-family -Y, which means it's a one-acre gross minimum lot size area, and the corresponding zoning district for that is residential single-family -Y. This is the subdivision design. This exterior line is currently the shape of the parcel, and this proposed line here would be the new parcel lot split line. Parcel 1 would retain the existing home, which is designated as a colony home, and parcel 2 would be available for a new home building site. The current parcel is a little over 2 acres gross, and each proposed parcel would be slightly over 1 gross acre. These are some pictures of the site. This is the existing home on the property, and some of the pictures facing the proposed home site for Lot 2. The project does qualify for a categorical exemption through CEQA.
and staff is recommending that you adopt the resolution before you this evening to approve the proposed subdivision. And the applicant's representative is available in the audience if you have any questions.
Any commissioners have any questions?
Maybe
Commissioner
one,
O'Grady?
Maybe one or two. There's the dashed line on the building envelope. Were the setbacks checked and verified that that's all compliant?
Yes. In this particular case, they're not necessarily required to show a building envelope based on their slope, but there were a lot of trees on the site, and so the building site was designated to make sure that we anticipated impacts correctly.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. I'd like to have the applicant. Please state your name.
Good evening, Commissioners. This is Pamela Giardini with Planning Solutions, and I am the agent for the applicant, Mr. Matt Cameron and Ms. Sarah Cameron. Basically, we've read the staff report, are in agreement with staff's report to you, and the building sites have been designated, and it's just a one-acre minimum parcel size. Everything is in conformance, so I'm just here to, if you have any questions, that's all.
Thank you. Any commissioners have any questions? Commissioner O'Grady?
One of the concerns that the Planning Commission has had in the past where there's proposed to be either grading on the site or removal of trees or shrubbery, in other words, significant disturbance to the site, as I understand this would be as far as pine trees and things, is we would attach a condition that says, hey, don't remove these trees until you have your construction permit and you're ready to begin construction, instead of leaving basically a denuded site for who knows how long. So that's a condition I'm thinking about, and I wondered if you had any comment on that.
If I could understand you correctly, so you wish to place a condition on the map that says that any additional tree removal between...
With you in consideration, it's a beautiful site.
Yes, it is.
And part of the beauty of the site is attributed to these non-native trees. It's not just the native trees. And in consideration of the neighborhood, which is a beautiful neighborhood, I'm just thinking if I lived there, I would not like to have construction begin. And you can define construction as starting to take out some trees or shrubs. And I would not like a long period of time between that occurring, in other words, significant disruption of the site, and the remainder of construction, if you take my point. It's a neighborhood sensitivity thing that I'm trying to...
Sure. If I may just check
sure.
with my client, since we have not discussed this condition.
Would that condition be okay with you?
Okay. The applicant is in agreement with that condition, and so if you wish to place it on the map, we would agree to that.
Thank you. That's very thoughtful of you.
Any other questions?
Any other
question?
Commissioner Benz?
Warren Frase. Would that condition be in violation of the existing tree ordinance?
Well, it isn't. Right now, the existing tree ordinance only covers native trees, so we don't have any protections on non-native trees. So that would be something that currently isn't an ordinance. The other thing the commission needs to be aware of is this is just a tentative parcel map. So you really can't, all you can condition is how the form of the final map ends up being recorded. So that it's not like a use permit where we can condition future building permits. You're just making a decision on splitting the lot. So there isn't a mechanism to actually create or track a condition of approval like a CUP would have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, you're saying this is premature put this condition in, or what would be the proper time to do so?
Well, there isn't likely going to be another time. What they've asked for is a lot split, which they're entitled to ask for at any time. It is just a parcel map. There won't be any improvement plans that go along with it, most likely. Once the final map's recorded, that's the end of the condition or tentative map. Then the future owner of the lot is free to apply for a building permit and use the lot for anything that's allowed under our zoning ordinance. So if they build a single-family house that's code compliant, all they need is a building permit.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm glad we had this conversation anyway, even if it's inappropriate for us to condition it. So thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Marino?
If it makes...
do you have a question for the applicant?
No, not for the applicant.
Okay. Does anyone else have a question for the applicant? Commissioner Hetherington?
Ms. Giardini, apparently they're splitting this lot up to sell one parcel of it. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So their intention is not to go in there and do any rearranging before they sell it?
No. Okay. There's an existing, the building envelope was designated, and we showed how the new driveway access would be laid out. Both of those would come through the building permit with a grading plan for that.
So as far as you know, the Camerons aren't going in there and cutting trees down.
Mayor Hetherington?
I agree with what Commissioner Moreno just said. That seeing the property, its beauty, its saleability is going to come with this, its aesthetic as it is now. So I don't think that they would be the type of people that would try and chop it down and sell a naked piece of property.
Any other comments? Could
I will do so. I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, I didn't open it to the public. If anyone from the public had a comment, I'd entertain that at this point. Seeing none, bring it back to the commission and continue on. My apologies.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0054, approving tentative parcel map 2008-0094, AT08-0076, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval.
Second.
We have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner Sturtevant?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Sorry, Interim Vice Chair O'Grady?
Oh, that's good.
Commissioner Bentz?
Yes.
And Interim Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. At this point in time, does the community development staff have any reports? No reports. The next one would be the commissioner comments and reports.
I have one.
Okay. Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes. I would like to ask for an update on the stack of light poles along Highway 41 near San Gabriel. I know city staff's been working on this and thought all the commissioners might be interested in the progress that's been made.
I'll have Dave Athey refer or answer that. He's been working on this case.
Planning commissioners, David Athey, interim city engineer. Really, Mr. Frey says a case, really not a case, but we are working on it. I've talked to Mr. Silva, the resident engineer for the Caltrans project today. We found a place. The Tascadero Mutual Water Company has agreed to take the light poles and store it on their property with two conditions. One, be named as a co-insured, and two, to have a date certain when the poles will be removed. I've relayed that information to Caltrans, and they're having a meeting with Granite Construction this week where they're going to ask about that and see if they couldn't do that. And I've also offered to write the letter to expedite the agreement to get the poles off at a later date. So that's the current status, and I hope to hear back probably by Thursday on a decision.
Well, thank you, and if there's anything I can do to help expedite that, word processor can churn one out, too.
Okay. Do you have a truck?
Yeah. I don't, but maybe someone else on the commission does.
For the two at-large positions, so Commissioner Hetherington is an at-large position that's appointed by the majority of the council, and then Commissioner Fonzie, now Councilmember Fonzie, was also an at-large position. So the process is they are currently advertising for applicants for those two positions, and then the commission will do, or excuse me, the council will do some sort of selection process in January. The exact timing of that hasn't been worked out. I think part of it's dependent on how many applications come in over the next week or so. It's my understanding that the city council has asked Commissioner Hetherington to stay on until the new at-large positions are appointed.
Commissioner Marino.
Two questions. One, there are actually on the 101 southbound, just north of Traffic Way, there have been two big boxes there for quite some time. Any knowledge of what those are or how they can disappear? Yeah, exactly. They look like maybe washer and dryer size boxes just sitting there.
Are they in the Caltrans right of way on the freeway?
Yeah, southbound just north of Traffic Way.
We'll work with Caltrans on that.
Okay.
Might be Caltrans trash boxes. Caltrans. We'll double check and we'll let you know.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Could you put a bow on them or something?
Yeah, put a bow or a ring.
Other question I have, and assuming probably with the way the Basin Plan meeting went, the answer is probably similar, but are we going to have a representative from the Regional Water Quality Control Board tomorrow night at the stormwater meeting?
Well, let me see. Let me just explain that tomorrow night we do have a community workshop on our stormwater management plan. So Public Works Department, David Athey and Jeff English will be hosting that. And I'll turn it over to Dave to answer the question about who may or may not be there.
Thanks, Warren. David Athey, Interim Public Works, Senior Engineer, Deputy Public Works Director. Yes, tomorrow night we're having a informational forum on our preliminary draft stormwater management plan. Everybody's welcome to attend. The regional board's welcome to attend. I have not been informed that they will be there. David Ennis, who is the person I'm dealing with at the regional board, may or may not be there. I'm not sure at this point. But everybody's welcome to attend and give their input on the plan. So to help us shape it for the January 27th meeting. You bet.
Could you announce the date and time and place of that meeting, David?
Sure. The meeting will be held tomorrow, December 17th, 6 p.m., City Council Chambers. Doors will open at 5:45. So.
Thank you. Any other commissioner comments or reports? Okay. Warren, do you have a director's report tonight?
Yes, I do. A couple things. Holidays are coming up, and we have a fifth Tuesday in December. So that means there's no planning commission meetings remaining in December. So our next meeting will be on January 6th, so informational sessions. Try to create opportunity for the commission to ask questions and for us to kind of have a dialogue about different issues that the commission deals with, from the zoning ordinance, the tree ordinance, the general plan, different types of regional water quality type issues that we're starting to deal with, so that we're all up to speed and kind of all understand the lingo and kind of what the issues that we're going to be facing over the next year are. The other things going on that we're going to be spending quite a bit of time on staff-wise is with the new city council, one of the first things that the new city council will do is a strategic planning session in late January that sets basically a process in motion for them to establish goals for the entire community. That'll include goals and direction for not only staff but the different commissions as well. The city operates on a two-year budget, so those budgets are staged, so they take effect basically 6 months after the new commission's sworn in. So the council sworn in. So council will be starting work on the next two-year budget cycle, and that budget cycle and the goals will all be worked together. So there'll be a lot of discussion, and we'll try to keep the commission updated on that. We all know it's a challenging financial scenario for all agencies and companies at this point. We're going to be looking at those sorts of issues as we move forward. And as things start to coalesce, we'll try to keep the commission up to date on those sorts of issues. And I just want to wish everybody a happy holidays, and we'll see you in the new year. Thank you.
Before I adjourn this, I'd like to thank the staff for this piece of paper, this project contact information. It is very helpful, and I hope you continue on with it.
Yes, our secretary, Annette Menier, came up with that idea. There were some questions about how best to package that information. She came up with that, and we're going to keep doing it.
Very good.
Would you please double-check it because it was on the wrong projects? Yeah. Yeah, they were...
They were reversed?
Yeah.
We'll do that.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Just based on the trainings you were talking about, Warren, I'm assuming those will start after the new commissioners, just a recommendation so that the trainings start once we have the...
Yeah, I think anything significant we'll definitely hold off on. Okay. We may do a couple things just to entertain you before then, though.
Besides wishing staff a happy holiday, I'd like to thank them for updating our planning and zoning book. That's going to be very helpful as we go forward into the new year.
Yes, I forgot to mention that. You do have new binders with the latest version of the city's zoning ordinance, so that replaces any current versions you might have.
And as I adjourn this meeting at, what is it? 7:47. Wish staff and all the other commissioners a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll see you next year. Thank you.